Please join me in welcoming the only person we offer the job to, okay? We are blessed that he is our football coach. Please again, help me welcome Coach Rhule, his family, to Baylor University head coach Matt Rhule.
I tried on about 12 green blazers and 5 green ties because I plan on wearing green for a while. So it's been a wonderful time, so thank you.
Well, here's the thing about that, Mr. Matt Rhule. According to reports, you know how an NFL team sometimes will interview a head coach in Canada who's kind of really out of the box?
Yeah.
Well, apparently the Colts interviewed Matt Rhule for their vacant head coaching job earlier this week. That kind of came out of nowhere because Matt Rhule, not a great initial debut at Baylor. I don't know if it was really his fault. I think we're going to have to kind of see on that one. But that was probably the weirdest move any team in the division has made in the last week.
Matt Rhule suffers. Does Matt Rhule suffer a little bit from what Bill O'Brien was able to do at Penn State? That Bill O'Brien took over a program that was reeling after scandal, and you could very much have excused any manner of awful, dreadful seasons, but he actually put together a respectable season. Matt Rhule, not nearly the same success.
I guess I would need to look more in detail at Baylor's team and the talent. They went 1-11.
Yeah,
I feel like they should have won 3 or 4 games.
Well, the interesting thing about the Matt Rhule hire at Baylor was that right from the get-go, what we talked about earlier in the NFL, it's so important to have cohesion from one year to the next in terms of philosophy.
Yeah.
Matt Rhule was not like an extreme spread offense type of guy, and you bring him in not just to change around a program that needs some serious work just on the PR side of things, I suppose, but also you brought in a guy whose methodology was different. And he talked early on about like, oh, we're going to mesh, we're going to do some of this, we're going to do some of that. That's hard to do, man. It's hard to do, especially when you're an extreme version. Like, okay, everybody runs some version of spread in college these days. And even NFL style offenses in college have been affected by the spread. But it's not the same necessarily as running an Art Briles system. That's an extreme spread offense with your wide receivers way, way spread out. So I don't that part was interesting to me. It was built a certain way, and not necessarily something that Matt Rhule could step in and do his thing right away.
It was kind of weird for them not to hire an air raid guy. The other thing was that we were talking about organizational philosophy, alignments, all that kind of stuff. They brought a guy to Waco who was born in New York City, grew up in New York, went to Penn State. It was a Penn State guy, had almost never been really outside of the Northeast for much. I know he was at Western Carolina for a while, but he was almost a pure Northeast guy going to Waco.
You've said before that you interview people sometimes just to get more information.
Yes.
Let's assume that the Colts did that. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they aren't trying to hire Matt Rhule as their next head coach to replace Chuck Pagano. Let's just pretend for a second. What kind of information can you get from Matt Rhule if you're the Colts? What is Jim Irsay and them, when their notepad's out and they're taking notes on Matt Rhule, what information can the Colts possibly be getting?
See, he was the Giants O-line coach in, what, 2012?
Honestly,
what's his other NFL experience?
I think that's about it.
Okay.
I think that's it.
So they're going to get to, they're trying to figure out exactly what made Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin tick back in 12.
That is an excellent question because I don't have an answer to it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not trying to knock Matt Rhule. I think Matt has a decent resume. I think he did a really nice job at Temple. But if I'm an NFL team interviewing him coming off 1-11 from one of my issues this morning at 6 o'clock, I said the Texans GM search for the Texans search for a GM was uninspiring to me because if I was Bob McNair, I would love the opportunity to sit down with other people across the NFL and to get to know them and know what other people think about the Houston Texans.
Uh-huh.
I want to get opposition research. What do they think about the organization that I own, that I run? I would love to sit down and get people's mostly, hopefully, honest thoughts about that.
Well, what did I just talk about with Matt Rhule and the challenges of running a more traditional system and marrying that with a spread system and going to Baylor, whatever challenges that would entail? Perhaps Jim Irsay is at the point where he's saying, okay, we've got to figure out a way to, A, we got to keep Andrew Luck healthy, and there's a really good way to do that, and that's to get the ball out of his hands quickly. But we also want to maintain some elements of the play action and protect him that way. So who better than a guy that's tried to marry both these systems? We're now in the NFL where there's been a complete change in the psychology of coaches being willing to incorporate college elements over the last 2 or 3 seasons. Now you're seeing it, and now what they did in Kansas City this year is getting Matt Nagy a job because he can blend both college and NFL. Like, that's the look at what Bill O'Brien was able to do with Deshaun Watson. He was able to blend college and the NFL.
Yes.
And a lot of the old school, the old guard is finally coming around to the fact that we just flat out got to look. We got to work with these kids that are good at playing a certain style of football. Then we're going to play that style of football. So maybe Matt Rule is maybe the best combination of those two.
It's a creative theory.
It's a, Jim Irsay the genius to pull this off?
Probably. Probably not.
Come on.
Well, we'll see what happens with the Indianapolis head coaching job. Also, Landry brought up the idea of, okay, we've had two AFC South teams obviously win playoff games this past weekend. Tennessee beating Kansas City in comeback fashion. Jacksonville holding off Buffalo at home. When we look at the AFC South as a whole, what do they mean for the landscape of the AFC South? For Tennessee, I think what it means is that they're keeping, obviously, Mularkey for an extra year, which I think for everybody else is a good thing. Now, the negative would be, I think Mariota played very well, I would say pretty good to very well in the second half, which I'm guessing is going to make people in Tennessee feel much more optimistic or substantially more optimistic about his future.
I think with the Titans, it's all there's a huge question as to just how healthy Marcus Mariota was this season. And I think more importantly, it's not... Hey, did his health affect his ability to run? It needs to be, did his health actually affect his accuracy?
Yeah.
Did it affect his mechanics? Did it do all that? Because that was one of the really unsettling things for Titans fans, was that you just saw Marcus Mariota missing the mark multiple times. You saw it in that game, both with the ill-fated decision to throw the ball on that early interception, but then also missing
Corey Davis.
He missed Corey Davis, wide open Corey Davis.
He came right back.
Yeah, but he came right back.
Right back.
And you see the good and the bad. And it's just so tricky in the NFL because I warn against this myself. You always have to remember the difference between a great quarterback and a fringe quarterback in the NFL is like a 10% completion rate. The difference between throwing 65% and 55% is that you can't just look at the good plays and say, well, hey, there he goes. He had some good plays, then he must be that good or he's got that potential. If you look at Mariota's stats from year one to year two to year three, And extrapolate everything out, this is a curious season. Like, he took a much bigger step backwards this season than really makes any sense other than by injury. Because I don't think, it wasn't like all of a sudden defenses changed and flummoxed him or they figured out exactly what they were going to do. I think the running game not being as good as the Titans expected it to be is part of it. But I think that Mariota helps the running game more than the running game helps Mariota. I think if Mariota is like, they're able to run that. You can talk about having a big, tough, physical offensive line all you want. In today's NFL, if you're too predictable with that, teams can stop you. Unless also you're the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs have bad run defense and their linebackers were just flat out no-shows in the game. I think part of that game was that the Chiefs are a very hot and cold team and certain matchups they're vulnerable to certain matchups, and that was one of those matchups they were vulnerable to. What Tennessee wants to do, and I was wrong about this. I thought the Chiefs would be able to handle that rushing attack because they knew which personnel to keep on the field for it. But guys like Reggie Ragland, who are supposed to be good at stuff in the run, was an absolute no-show.
Yeah, I mean, they went three wide in the second half, and they could not handle that.
Yep.
7:45, is there any first-year starter better than Deshaun to build a team around? What is Gaines' first order of business? We'll discuss with Mark Vandermeer coming up at 8 o'clock.